You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Coming to Northeast Wisconsin live from the Civic Media Studios and featuring TV and radio broadcast veteran John Mino, along with the City of Green Bay's longest serving mayor, Jim Schmidt. This is Mino and the Mayor.
Begin the day with a friendly voice, a companion unobtrusive.
And here are your hosts, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, thank you very much. Welcome back. Hour number three of Mino the Mayor. The mayor, of course, still on vacay or doing whatever he's doing. I got some nice pictures from Donna, though, with the dolphins and stuff, huh, Todd?
I can put a couple pictures up if you'd like.
Yeah. Looks like she's having a good time, at least.
So Jim and Donna right there.
Oh, look at that.
Yeah, look at that.
He looks slightly happy.
Yep. This is an interesting one. This is Jim and
a guy.
Rastafarian, maybe?
Yeah, kind of, yeah, looks like Rastafarian. Yeah.
Rastaman.
It's a big pipe he's got in his hand.
And
what is that?
I think he's happy to see you.
Oh, my gosh.
Is that a
bong?
I didn't see
a bong in a long time.
Just put a lot of things in that hat.
One last time, I'm going to throw up Mulane and Lisa from
their glam band look. Yeah. Oh, man, it's fun having them on. They are so much fun. Lisa Malik, Mulane Wells, Local 5 Live. Fun TV show. I've co-hosted it. Dennis, you've been on it. It's just really fun. Mark Houston, Bell and Sports Medicine in the house. We're just talking a little bit about some of your endeavors coming up with the draft and everything like that. And hosting a little party the night before, or the night of at your place. And it's big. I mean, you guys are in the epicenter pretty much of everything going on over there at your headquarters, aren't you?
Yeah, it's going to be exciting.
Better epicenter than EpiPen, I always say.
Good point. Good point. Well, anyway, we got Mark here. We've got Dennis here. And Dennis, we do a lot of jocularity and fun and screwing around and all these kind of things. But we're going to have a little announcement made right now that goes in a different direction, but it's something that you wanted to get out there.
Sure. I guess there really is no way to go out and dance around. I'm just going to say it. In the last few weeks, I've been diagnosed with stage 4 metastatic prostate cancer. And I don't have a great outlook, according to these doctors that I've seen recently, but just want to get that out there. The reason I want to do it on the show is because we're brothers, you know, and everybody here, we're all great people, but I want to get it out there kind of more publicly as opposed to trying to tell people individually, because I got to spend my time focusing on,
and you know, it's
going
to get
keeping
out
my energy going,
so
you know, and and that kind of a thing. So thank you for letting me do that, and I appreciate that. But I got a chemo port put in yesterday, and I start the first of six chemo treatments on next Monday. And they're 3 weeks apart, so I'll have the chemo port put in and in until the first full week of July, it looks like.
You hope to perform with it all the way through?
Yeah.
Or take it by...
Yeah, I'm going to do everything I can. These procedures, these chemo episodes, I guess you want to call them, they'll be on Mondays. And they say it takes 2 or 3 days to kind of get over that. You know, Mark can speak to that more than I can. But that's the goal, is to get them out first part of the week and give me time to recover to some extent and then see how it goes.
Mark, obviously, in this kind of a situation, your body, how you keep your body up and things like that, go a long ways into how well you can respond. Isn't that the truth?
Yeah, I think that's the truth, and I commend Dennis for just coming on. I think it's there's a lot of guys that don't want to talk about some of the stuff. There's a lot of females, when they talk the big C word, you know, it's affected all of us, either individually or a family member, friends. But so I commend you, Dennis, for coming on. I think, like you said, John, though, it is keeping your body healthy and addressing if you see changes. Now, that doesn't mean you're always going to see a change. You know what I mean? So some people will see changes. In this case, it could be your urination could be more frequent. Some people could be less frequent. Mm-hmm. You could have, I think the other thing I was going to say was, you know, it could be some guys have like hip pain, back pain, and say, you know, geez, what did I lift wrong?
I tweaked it or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's been going on
that,
for,
though, you know, in my situation. But,
correct. You know, so everyone's different.
Yeah.
I think the biggest thing is when you started having issues, you addressed it. And I think that's I commend you for, one, getting it addressed, and then, two, I think in making people aware of this, I hope that people really listen to this and say,
that's one of the reasons Dennis wanted to do this. And we've talked about that, Dennis, about getting the checks.
Yeah.
And for whatever reason, so many guys just put it off. Yep. Go ahead and be an advocate for that, Dennis.
Well, it's really nothing to get your blood tested. You know, you get that that happens all the time, and just to say the needles are better these days than they used to be. It's not that big of a deal. It's just like pinching your finger, you know, with your thumb. That's what it feels like going in. It doesn't hurt anymore. And so do it. Get when you get the test done, get your PSA done.
Correct. Request it.
Yeah. And you can speak to more of what the PSA is and how that affects things and what that does. But that I got my blood test drawn and with the PSA part, which is a prostate, antigen.
Yep.
Test, whatever. And there's a range in there of 0 to 4, which is called normal. And mine was 298.59. So that was the alarm bells were going off. And I already kind of knew that from previous experience with another blood test previously, 3 years ago. I didn't have insurance. I was trying to get life insurance. And they did a PSA test. That's what, you know, insurance companies do. And it was 177 3 years ago. Ouch. And here I am going 3 years down the line, and now it's metastasized. Yep. You know, it's in my hip, it's in my back, a couple different places, you know, in a rib. So I got my work cut out for me. And the doctors were telling me that one doctor says, oh, I'll give you 3 to 5 years. And who are you? This doctor walks into my appointment 20 minutes late, hasn't read my chart yet, and you're telling me I got 3 to 5 years? Piss off, yep. You know? And so, I'm going through that anger aspect of it, as you can tell. But I'm trying to channel that. But I'm all over the place with this story.
Friends. No, you go right ahead.
But as we're going on, you know, the biopsy came back, and I was looking at this, and the biopsy wasn't too bad. And to be frank with you, I had a gummy going in, you know, so it wasn't, you know, I was scared what it was going to feel like, and it wasn't that bad, you know, and the pain of not knowing was greater than the pain of the procedure. And I want to make sure you understand that, you know, it's like a 2 or 3 on the pain scale of getting the biopsy. It's not where you want it to be, but I look back at it and I'm looking back, I'm seeing this stuff. I'm seeing they're pulling out what I think it was. I can't remember how many
CCs,
how many needles they're pulling in. Like, I think it was like 12 or whatever it was. And I'm looking at that and seeing some black stuff. I'm going, oop, I remember seeing this back in old 70s TV show back then. Maybe it was emergency or something. And that's when they knew. So the alarm bells were going off in my head. So when the doc was done with the biopsy, he says, I asked him on the way out, he goes, what are you thinking? He gave me 3 words, pretty significant cancer. And he walked out. It's like, well, I could tell by looking at the, I knew something was up. And so got the results back. And it's called the Gleason score that they look at in, the Gleason score, it's on a 10 scale, and I was a 9. And so that's very aggressive, growing cancer. If there's one thing about prostate cancer, it grows slower than most of the others. So I may, you know, I don't know, as far as what it's going to do for me down the road or whatever. But here we are. I start chemo on Monday, and I'm just going to see, I'm going to ride this thing out and doing everything I can to educate myself. And I kid you not, friends, if you want to try and save your life, it's a full-time freaking job. You know, it's going to involve everything, to turning your whole life around, how you eat, what you eat. You know, it's
water.
Water all the time. Yep. I'm a water guy all the time.
Yep.
But, it's just getting educated on what you can and can't have anymore and sticking to those things, because that's probably part of the reason why I got this in the first place, bad food choices in my young adult life and growing up, because I was just trying to survive. A lot of my years,
yep.
You know, I've been injured, you know, as a kid, and it affected my ability to work a lot of ways. But you know, whatever, you just tough it through, whatever. So you bounce around a lot, don't have insurance a lot. You work a lot, burning the candle at both ends. That was me, you know, 70-hour mortgage gig, playing 100 shows a year. You know, I was writing checks my body couldn't cash. Eventually, it catches up to you. And in short, that's maybe probably why. Besides the family aspect of it, which we haven't talked about yet, that's probably what got me here. I have 2 brothers that also have it. I found out I have an uncle who has it. But for both my brothers, I think they got theirs caught in time. But for me, no.
Oh, you don't know that, though.
The stage 4, to the metastasis part.
No, I understand. But you don't know. They could knock it out. It can it's happened before.
Yeah, but... I have a doctor who I'm going to see later today who is saying that they're going to do, they were talking about.
And I just want to just show one of our guys we had on here, you know him well, my very good friend that I, you know, visited in Afghanistan, John.
Yeah, well, yeah.
He had stage four, and he's looks like
he's Amen.
Doing great.
Yeah, yeah, he is doing really well. But the radiologist I'm going to see today, he's the word coming back to me from him in advance is that they're only going to zap me radiation-wise for pain only. It's like, how is that part of the plan? You know, I thought radiation is to help kill these cells and get rid of them. And he's saying, nah, it's optional for you. Well, that's not a good sign. So the alarm bells are still going off in my head. So I'm thinking, I'm going to advocate for myself.
Yeah, exactly. I was just going to say, advocating for yourself.
And so I went and I'm getting a referral to the Mayo Clinic in Rochester, yep. Minnesota. And it's a matter of time before we go through that process. But I need a third set of eyes on this, really.
Yeah.
And because I'm just not happy with the prognosis that I'm seeing from the doctors coming back now.
And I think you led into it also from the beginning is it's, you got to advocate for yourself. And we kind of talked about it before we went on air is there's so many times I think a lot of males think, how does it get checked? It's unknown. It is just a blood test. Yep. And they look at numbers. Unfortunately for you, you have some history in the family too.
Didn't know that either, by the way, until the last couple of years.
And so that sometimes goes up 2-3 times fold.
Sure.
I think I heard a stat of 1 in 10 males will encounter this in a lifetime. But if you have a family member,
I would say it would be more than that. It seems like almost everybody I know, every family has this effect.
I do think though that they're, you know, what we've done 10 years ago and 20 years ago and 30 years ago. So if someone said, hey, my dad or my uncle had this and what they went through for treatment versus what's going on now, I think it's much better. I think, you know, I mean, it's never
I will
easy.
Say this, my dad had it, okay? And it was a lot more, what's the word? Not evasive, what's the odd of it?
Resistant?
It was
denial?
I don't know how to put it. But physically, the things they did to try to control or cure it were a lot more physically, it tore into them pretty bad.
Oh,
bad.
Sure.
With some
a lot
of
more radical.
Radical or aggressive. Yeah. I mean, it's a...
The VA is still that way, by the way.
Yeah.
They're pulling the prostate. You know, both my brothers, they yanked them out.
Yeah.
In my case, they're choosing not to, which I question, but that's the protocol now. I'm on a triplet therapy. We can talk to them when we come back from the break and whatnot. But they're saying stage four, they're saying that's not the protocol these days.
Yep.
Just want to read some quick text. Praying for you, Maria. Oh, no. Praying for you, Dennis, Jason. Always sending so much love to you, Christine. So sorry to hear that, Jen. Praying for you, Dennis. Another one here. I'm going through cancer myself, Dennis. You were in my prayers, Terry.
Everybody knows somebody that is.
Absolutely. We're going to send her a quick break. Dennis Peters, Glam Ben, of course, Mark Houston, Bell and Sports Medicine. It's a serious segment. We're going to have one more like that coming up when we come back.
Keep smiling, friends.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Hey, welcome back. Mine on the Mayor Show today. Dennis Peters, the co-host. We've got Mark Houston from Bell and Sports Medicine. Todd, you got a bunch of texts coming in?
I can't even keep up, but just well wishers from Peter, Dawn, Crystal, Debbie, Missy, Scott, Luann, all saying that they're thinking of you, praying for you.
I know each and every one of them. Thank you all.
And also getting some texts. Thank you for bringing this out and talking about it because we're all guys in the studio, right? This is a scary thing that we don't want to always have to deal with. We don't want to think about it. We don't. You know, we're guys, right?
Yeah.
And then you see somebody who is very close to you that you feel very strongly about going through this, and you're like, damn it, I can't be dumb with this.
I know.
Yeah.
And you guys were having a great conversation during the break there, and you are very much encouraging him to, you know, take control, but I mean—
Just advocate
for yourself.
I think that's what comes in anything. You know, I think you have to advocate, and you have to sometimes, I'll say it, I think sometimes in healthcare we don't always— especially when you get a specialist, we sometimes talk about that day in, day out. But we have to remember that the patient doesn't know about these things day in, day out. Some people know about them, have done a lot of research. Some people, this is the first time you talk about metastasis. What is that? You know, I mean, what does that mean? So I think the biggest question is ask questions.
Yeah.
It's, and then write questions down. So when you go in, you can speak and you know with what you have, not everyone, what you have.
Yeah. And the metastasize means it's spread outside, you know, which, so what, that's a dangerous thing. It's spread outside of the prostate. It's in lymph nodes, you know, in my particular case, it's in the hip, back, a couple of places, in a rib. And they're not small. The one on my hip and my back are, they're not small. So they've been there for a day.
Yeah. So what they're going, how they may treat your hip, back versus the prostate or other parts may be different.
Right.
You know, so you have to ask, hey, and then you may have future scans and you hope that it's less and less. So.
Yeah. Yeah. So what, and I'm glad you said that too. There's so many different directions I can go with this, but, to go back to what we were talking about earlier, the therapies that I'm on right now, it's two testosterone blockers. That seems like the treatment du jour for stage four, in my case is, double testosterone blocking because the testosterone it grows the androgens in the body. And is that, I'm not saying that right, but it testosterone grows the cancer. It's like the fuel for the fire. And another thing you had to do to kill cancer cells is not eat sugar, by the way. You got to starve it out. That's another topic too. But, so that part of it, I started in the last few weeks already. And what's going to happen with that is the side effect is there's going to be less physical drive, if you know what I'm saying. Things like that are going to come along with that. So you just got to ride that wave and see how this goes. But, and when I say that, I'm also talking about my brothers and their examples. Both went military. They have VA benefits and went for the VA. They're radical still. You know, they're old school. They're taking the prostate out. So both of those guys aren't exactly active anymore, and they're pissy about it. But
invasive is the word I was looking for.
Okay,
the ultra invasive.
Sure, sure. But what they're saying these days is that they're not looking to take the prostate out in stage four. To me, my first thought would be like, well, wouldn't you want to get the insolent child into the corner, take it out, put it into the corner, get it out of you? But they're saying no, you know, and they're not even talking about lymph nodes. And so there's a concern there for me. It's like, why are we not talking about that? Why are we not, you know, going for that? They may be thinking that the chemo might, you know, might kill these cells or put them into sleep or, you know. But the goal for me to get into remission is it'll show up on the PSA blood test. If I get 0.1 or lower, that qualifies as remission from what I understand. And I only have a short time to do that. I believe they say within about 6 months, I got to get that the PSA score down to 0.1 or lower to be in remission. If I don't make remission, then we're down a slippery slope that, you know, who knows what's going to happen, you know, then, you know, whatever. You know, we're talking like maybe clinical trials, things of that nature. There's another nuclear radioactive thing that they put into you too, that is the next step, which might, I can see that happening in my future. And then who knows what's next, but I'm looking at clinical trials already.
I was
kind of looking ahead and advocating for myself, you know,
Dennis, I think you nailed it, but I want to kind of come back to it is, talking about, there's the medical side of things. Then there's that nutritional side,
of course.
And we even talked about water, sleep.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's the whole body that you're having. So, as you start into some of this treatment, your body, when you are very healthy doing these concerts, I'm sure you're exhausted that night and the next day.
Oh yeah.
And so now we add in a medical condition. You got to take care of yourself, and I think you're doing a great job with already planning ahead on some of these things and watching what you're eating, drinking, getting rest, so your body can heal. It's not just about the prostate, it's the whole body.
I've been to the apothecary, I'm getting all sorts of weird name roots and all those things, putting them into teas and all sorts of things, getting little droplets of all sorts of things. And I'm really looking into this. I want to kill this thing, you know, and if I don't do it now, you know, .. The future doesn't look bright, you know.
I just want to read some more text here. Dennis, they don't get to decide your fate, Missy. Sending prayers, Shelley, Nicole, Madison. You know I love you, brother. You are strong. We continue to pray for you. Dawn, text Dennis, I'm so proud of you for doing this. The awesomeness you are giving for everyone. Love you, bro.
Thank you, people, for putting your names out there, because I know who you are, and that means a lot. And these people that are chiming in, some of them know. I'm trying to keep it on the down low for the longest part, because it just...
We've talked about this for a couple of months, probably, haven't we?
Yeah. It's just because...
Off the air, obviously.
I got to set things up right. You know, I needed to know where I'm going. I needed to know what the treatment is going to be. I had to have a plan first. Yeah. You know, and just to wrap my head around this, immerse myself in the education part of it. I was spending, you know, double-digit hours a day on YouTube and other references, looking things up, ChatGPT, you know, you name it, AI, sources, whatever it takes. I've been looking into to try and get around this. I'm getting a lot of knowledge on it, and I'm utilizing that to try and get on top of this.
Yeah.
All right, my friend. Mark, thanks for being here. We thought it was important to have you here just talk about the other physical aspect of it and to tell people, guys, get checked.
Yeah, I think just to wrap it up, and thank you. I mean, Dennis, this is a sensitive subject, but to get checked, ask about it. You know, a lot of places... It's easy done, or it could be done, especially if you're at 42, 45. If you have a history, you got to say something.
Don't let yourself think if you're getting tired that you think you need a testosterone boost. That could kill you.
Correct.
So get a blood test first before you get a testosterone booster.
There you go.
Thanks very much, Mark. Appreciate it. When we come back, Carrie Josephson and Marty Schreiber will here talk about the walk to end Alzheimer's. Back after this.
Goodbye. He's up and gone. Daddy drives an 18-wheeler, and he's all
ready. While the teams get ready to choose their top draft pick, you can help Mino and the Mayor choose their top craft pick.
Northeast Wisconsin is home to amazing breweries, wineries, cideries, and distilleries, and we need your help picking the best.
We've drafted 10 of our favorites, but which local craft beverage creator will go to number one? That's up to you. Mino and the Mayor's top craft pick, drafting Northeast Wisconsin's finest one sip at a time. Now, back to Mino and the Mayor. Here's John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, thank you very much. Welcome back, Mino and the Mayor. The Mayor, of course, still on vacation. We got Dennis Peters filling in for us, and thank you to Mark Hewson. That was a very, how do I put that? Very important half hour of radio I think we just had.
Well, thank you. Thanks.
Very important.
Thanks again for
and the messages continuing to come in. I'd like to read a couple more if that's all right.
Yeah, go right ahead.
Let's see. Chrissy says, so sorry to hear this. Thinking of you. Thanks for being bringing awareness. So sorry to hear this, Dennis. Prayers for you. That's Karen. If you ever need anything, I'm here sending prayers and positive energy. That's Daniel. Craig says, Dennis, we are blessed you came into our lives and you're not going anywhere.
Beautiful.
Appreciate you. Thanks.
You got it, brother. Well, right now, we've got a couple of people that are also involved in a very, very serious thing that, again, I swear affects somebody in everybody's family. Carrie Josephson, of course, from the Alzheimer's Foundation, the walk to end Alzheimer's coming up, and a very, very special guest. We are honored to have this gentleman, and I'm going to leave that to you, Carrie, to introduce this very distinguished gentleman.
Yes, my sidekick for, well, yesterday and today, former Wisconsin Governor, Mr. Marty Schreiber.
Yeah. Good morning.
You want a drum roll, Marty?
You're the first governor we've ever had in our studio.
Is that right? Well, thank you. That's quite an honor then for me to do that.
I didn't want to say this should be one of your top honors in your career, but
yeah. And by the way, I see a happy birthday. It's the day your birthday.
It was St. Patrick's Day.
Oh, St. Patrick's Day. Well, happy birthday.
Thank you.
If I would have known it, I would have signed an executive order for being so intelligent and wise.
I work with a former mayor of Green Bay here every single day, and he's never given me an executive order.
Yeah. Well, that's.
I think he tried setting one to get me out of town one day. Uh-huh. But
was that a restraining order?
Well, maybe that's what it
was.
Is
that what it was?
One of the two. But, Carrie, thank you for this beautiful food from Uncle Mike's.
You are welcome, John.
It will not
Happy
go to
belated.
Waste. Thank you so very much.
You bet.
First of all, I want to talk to you, sir. I'd like to talk to you about this book that you wrote. I'm a local author, and I like to write books. But this one, I think, is a very poignant personal story of how you got involved with the Alzheimer's Foundation in a way, because it was personal with your wife, correct, sir?
That's correct. And I'll tell you, had it not been for the Alzheimer's Association, quite frankly, I don't know how I would have made it. My wife experienced and died from Alzheimer's over a period of almost 20 years. And in that period of time, I went through what every caregiver goes through, and that's just the grieving, the anxiety, the worry, the depression, the sadness, the feeling of abandonment, the lonely, all of those things come into play. And if it wouldn't have been for the Alzheimer's, I wouldn't have made it. But the title of my book is My Two Elaines. And the first Elaine is a wonderful woman that I married and had, you know, 4 children, 13 grandchildren, now 11 great-grandchildren.
What a beautiful woman.
What? And then, but the second Elaine began, same person, began to appear when she was approximately 63, 64 years of age. And she would get lost driving to and from places she had been going to and from for 10 years. A great cook, mess up recipes so badly she would cry. Coming up with stories that I couldn't believe she would even imagine. That was the beginning of the second Elaine. And there were some things that I learned too late. We missed out on moments of joy. We could have had greater opportunities to experience helping each other live our best life possible. But I was arrogant. I was self-centered. I said I could do it alone. And I tell you, I got involved with the caregiver's poisons, a little bit of alcohol, and all of a sudden, it began to dawn on me that I was not really serving the one I love by being so self-centered. I was not serving her by refusing to ask for help. I was not serving her by not taking care of myself. So that's why I wrote the book. I want to help caregivers learn, cope, and survive.
But that comes from a place of love, though. You know, you want to be the one that takes care of things. You want to be the one, because that's the role that you do when you say, I do, you know, and to do those things, I think that's very commendable. But yeah, you're right, though. I think it does add up after a while, and it can become, you know, out of your wheelhouse of what you can do, and it's only natural. And I'm just glad that you, like you say, you found the association to help you with that.
But I think on the other hand, too, I think it also opened your eyes just how tough of a foe this is.
Yes.
Because everybody thinks, well, I'm the strong guy. I can handle this. But Alzheimer's is such a tough enemy, isn't it, Carrie?
Oh, absolutely. And just caregiving in general, whether you're caring for somebody with Alzheimer's or dementia or any other situation, it takes its toll and you really can't do it yourself. It's about really having a good support team around you.
I think everybody knows somebody who has been affected by
everybody.
It. And that's it. It didn't used to be like that. I think it's something that's kind of growing. There's more and more diagnoses, and it's horrible.
Yes, we're living longer, but also we're getting better about diagnosing it.
One thing I want to make everyone aware of: 40% of caregivers die before their loved one due to stress-related illness.
Really,
a person who is a caregiver has a 60% higher death rate than non-caregivers.
What?
So what the point is that when there is a diagnosis of Alzheimer's, there are two patients: the person who is ill, and then also the caregiver. And unless we realize that, we're going to just see caregiving among all of the things in the world is probably one of the most challenging because of all of the emotions and experiences you go through as you see your loved one disappear almost daily. And my heart goes out to every caregiver, to every family who is dealing with this Alzheimer's disease. And that comes us right down to what Carrie is about. And that is to help people better learn, cope, and survive, making sure we get the research involved. And if I could encourage anything, it's to get involved with Carrie, the Alzheimer's Association, and their walk.
You know what? I've just in the ones from my family members where I've dealt with this, okay? The one thing that, again, why this is such a vicious thing is because there will be moments of total clarity of you're talking to that exact same person you've known your whole life, and then 10 minutes later, you don't recognize the person. They don't recognize you. That's got to be an extremely frustrating feeling, right?
Well, so Elaine was in assisted living for roughly 8.5 years. So we're having lunch, and she's beginning to cry. And she looks at me, and I said, why are you crying? Well, she says, I'm beginning to love you more than my husband. Well, I didn't ask her what's wrong with her turkey husband. I didn't do that at all. But the point is, And what is so important, it was not necessary for her to know my name in order for our hearts to touch.
Sure.
And many times people say, well, that person doesn't recognize me. Well, I don't want any. No, hearts can touch by holding a hand, by giving a hug, by singing a song, by giving a smile. And so people could please understand that.
I've learned that, too.
I just want to reintroduce you. We're with Carrie Josephson, Alzheimer's Foundation, Marty Schreiber, former governor for the state of Wisconsin, who wrote a phenomenal book. It looks like My Two Elaines, talking about learning, coping, and surviving as an Alzheimer's caregiver.
That's a beautiful picture of the two of you, by the way. That's fantastic.
Well, thank you. That goes back, maybe when we were 22 or 23 years old. And I know I look only 39, but I'm 85. But you can get sort of a pushback on
it. Yeah, I just got to say, we were talking yesterday about old hairstyles and about the one that used to have the straight up.
Yeah.
And the
pompadour?
Yeah. Yep. That was a crew cut.
Was that held up by Brill Cream?
No. Listen, please. I have my own inner strengths.
Okay.
I don't need Brill Cream. I come here all the way to Green Bay to be insulted.
Sorry about that.
You look at me. Do I look like a Brill Cream guy to you?
You look like the guy that was on the poster whenever I used to get my hair cut up in Nagani.
I was like 19 years old.
Yeah.
Okay. I didn't know I'd run into you when I was 19.
I think there's some Brill Cream at work there. Just saying.
And first time I've ever been under attack like this. And I've been through a lot of political issues.
I will stop this car. So I think it's a beautiful thing that you said regarding the conversation with your wife that I've learned something too of what you meet them where they're at. Mm-hmm. And from that point, that's where you can get the traction on the communication and whatnot. And I think it's a beautiful thing that you shared that.
Okay. What you just said is brilliant. It's the key to it. Joining their world. As long as we try and keep them in our world, it's impossible.
Right.
And so, but to join them where they are at is one of the most important, best things you can do, both for the person ill as well as the caregiver and the entire family.
Carrie, could you put that into words, what you've seen in people doing that?
I think what Marty's talking about is, you know, sometimes people, you know, they get a diagnosis and the caregiver maybe don't understand exactly, you know, what they're dealing with. And, you know, it can get tiring when, you know, the person is repeating themselves or asking the same question over and over or saying something that's not at all correct. But it's really about not battling with them. You know, does it matter if they think that it's 3 p.m. instead of 9 a.m? I know Marty talks oftentimes about his wife wanting to have a glass of wine in the morning. Who cares? Just roll with it.
Well, you know, one thing that I found too with somebody very close to me that had it and passed away from it was you have to be real careful what you say because you're not quite certain what they're hearing. And I remember it was a brother of mine, and it was his wife, my sister-in-law, and we were going to be going over to some former friends of theirs, you know, for dinner. And I just casually said, hey, we better get going. Joe and Mary or whomever, probably, and they said to be there, dinner is going to be ready. And she goes, where are you going? And I go, with Joe, and she goes, well, why am I not invited? You know what I mean? Whereas just before that, she'd been in a different world type thing. But she totally understood that part and tore my heart in two when she said that.
Yeah. And even, you know, sometimes they maybe can't communicate anymore. But that doesn't necessarily mean that they can't understand.
Right.
So just as before I went to print with the book, I find a series of notes and journals that Elaine had been keeping. Each chapter begins with some of Elaine's notes or journals. That gives us a thorough understanding of what it's like to be diagnosed with this disease, to have all of those questions come into mind, to think you're normal, to not think you're normal, to worry about whether or not things are going along, what's going to happen in the future, and then to get angry with. People have told me that that book has really made a difference in their life, helping them learn, cope, and survive. And the notes that Elaine wrote that are in the book gives us that kind of insight.
What is the process like of going from, I think maybe I'm not quite, not like I used to be, for example, how does that process start to getting diagnosis aspect of it? I mean, what kind of time span are we talking about? And, you know, from that aspect, what was your experience like?
Well, she was getting lost, as I said, going to and from places. And I was in refusal, you know, I didn't want to accept that. I didn't want to accept
denial,
that at all.
Kind of?
I was denial. Yeah. And so we finally went to a family doctor who said, you better check this out. And so we went to a psychiatrist. They have what they call the mini test. What day is it? Who's president of the United States? Do you use Brill Cream for your hair? All those kinds of things.
I'm just throwing it out there.
My
talents. You know, I got these. Okay, I'm reading these things from her notes.
Yes.
Wow, you're not hiding anything with what she said here.
I didn't want to.
It's a true.
Yep.
I got this one. Date unknown, but this is from your wife, Elaine. I wish my Alzheimer's would dissipate. I'd like to be the smart wife and mother I used to be. Now I have to waste so much time just trying to figure out what I should be doing without seeming as smart as I used to be. I need to rely on Marty for everything, and I'm very lucky he continues to keep me. Life gets more difficult every day.
And so if you read further, she gets to the point where she gets very angry with me because she felt I was controlling her. And so I want you to know that when we had prayed together and we had cried together, but until I read her notes did I ever understand the courage that it takes to be diagnosed with this illness and go forward. And never did I realize that. Elaine, it didn't happen on a Thursday. It happened on a Friday. Elaine, it wasn't the Smiths of John. What is going on is, why is she being criticized for thinking things? She didn't know what she said when she said it. And so I wrote the book. I want to help caregivers learn, cope, and survive. I want to have that journey, as challenging as it is, to be as fruitful and as productive of happy moments as possible.
I just want to read one thing. I believe this is from you, a little excerpt you have in there. What I wish I had known, asking others to help does not mean you're not strong enough or not trying hard enough.
I try and drive home the point that to ask for help means you're not giving up. And also to not ask for help is a sign of arrogance.
Okay, one more I want to read. I should have enlisted a couple of friends to be my team captains who could do the asking and scheduling for me. That's a very practical thing in that aspect.
Well, there again, it's a selfishness. I can do it myself.
Right.
And in the meantime, I'm sort of digging my own grave because I'm not taking care of myself.
Wow, this is fascinating. We're going to send her a quick break. We'll be back with more. Kerry Josephson and Marty Schreiber, former Wisconsin governor, walk to L's to end Alzheimer's. We'll talk about that when we come back. Okay, Kerry?
All right.
Great. Thanks.
Got my chips cashed in, keep trucking like the dude of man together. More or less in line, just keep trucking on home.
Arrows of neon and flashing marquees out on Main Street. Chicago, New York, Detroit, and it's all.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Hey, welcome back. Mine or the Mayor. The Mayor will be back on Monday. Dennis Peters sitting in very, very capably. We got Kerry Josephson, former Wisconsin governor, Marty Schreiber here. Talk a little bit about the walk to end Alzheimer's.
And thank you so much for coming in. And the governor brought in his book. It's called My Two Elaines, Learning, Coping, and Surviving.
And it looks fascinating just from
caregiver.
The excerpts I've read.
Mm-hmm. And you're presenting this today at Eden Vista Court. That's at 289 East St. Joseph Street at 3 p.m.
Yep.
So how do you plug in? How do people get there? How do they plug into this, making sure that they can get there? We want to get the word out, get folks out there to see
you
today.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is completely open to the public. Anybody is welcome to come. No need to RSVP or anything. So just come to the court at Eden Vista, as you mentioned, 289 East St. Joseph Street in Green Bay. We'll be starting right away at 3 o'clock. So there's about 45 minutes where Marty's going to be presenting and talking about his book and the lessons that he learned.
I want to be there.
Marty, what year did she pass away?
Pardon?
What year did your wife pass away?
Approximately 2 years ago.
Okay.
As of April.
So I was just reading one excerpt here from 2013 where you can just see that she's still, there's such a part of her that still doesn't want to leave. She says, I'd be so lost without you. Please continue to take care of yourself for me as well as for you. That's a very important thing that we were talking about a little bit earlier about the caretakers and the price they pay sometimes.
You nailed it. And if there's one thing that I hope people get out of this conversation is the fact that you've got to take care of yourself. Alzheimer's is such a dire prognosis. Horrible, horrible, horrible. Hopeless. But we can make a determination. What we can do is help our loved one live their best life possible. That we can do. That's doable. We can take pride in that and be positive. And so how do we do that? Joining their world, but making sure the caregiver takes care of themselves so they have the emotional wherewithal and strength to deal with it.
What kind of outlets do caregivers have? You're mentioning you're part of the Alzheimer's Association. What other alternatives are there?
Well, that's the problem. Some of these, we stay by ourselves. And we don't want to do too much. But there are caregiver support groups that are around that people can find out about. But then there's also the Aging and Disability Resource Center as a place for help. Many churches, some churches now are involved in that. The governor's wife, Kathy, is very involved in trying to create dementia-friendly communities and areas. So there are things that are happening, but it's still... I see too much of this arrogance of we men who refuse to ask for directions.
And as far as resources, it really depends on where you're living. You know, in Green Bay, we have some amazing organizations, even like Curative Connections that offers a day program.
Are you kind of a clearinghouse in that way, Carrie? If somebody just wants to know, they can just call you guys and you can help point them in the right direction?
So we do have a community resource finder section of our website. So if you go to alz.org, there's a ton of information. There are actually educational sessions that are recorded and you can watch on demand. That's where you can find out when we're doing education in the community, like the presentation today. Also, finding out about support groups. We have a 1-800 helpline that people can call 24/7 and awesome. Ask any kind of question or actually get a live person on the phone if they're in a situation and they're not sure what to do. But in addition to that, you know, we have a section where other people in the community can put their services up on our website. Marty mentioned the ADRC, fantastic. They do so
yes,
much good.
Yes, great organization.
Access to
just want to re- just want to registration. It's down the road, but Walk to End Alzheimer's, which takes place right behind us here.
Yes,
like absolutely right outside of our door. Saturday, September 27th, right in the City Deck Landing. And registration starts today.
Registration has been open actually for a couple months already.
Oh, you can register. Okay,
yes,
got it.
You can certainly register today.
All right. Call to action right there, my friend.
Yes, indeed. So that's awesome.
Yes. We'd love to see people out there.
Talk a little bit more about how important it is having a spokesperson like this gentleman.
Oh, I mean, not only is he a great time and has a fantastic message to share with everybody, he definitely keeps me on my toes. And I'm shocked that he hasn't told the story about me not being able to get in the building yet this morning.
Did you lock yourself up?
No, I'm not going to tell the story about what happened, but here's what happened. So we're standing outside the door of your studio. We're outside in the street, freezing. It's right. Cold out. Dog yeah. on it all anyway. Yeah. But anyway, so she presses the button, and we wait. And we wait. And we wait. Well, then she presses the button again, and we wait.
I blame myself for that. That's on me.
And then I said, well, maybe you should call. So she started to call. And I said, let's try the door.
Oh, yeah.
And we tried the door, and it opened. And so we drove back from Sturgeon Bay last night. Horrible storm.
Oh,
very horrible
gosh.
Storm.
Oh, my.
And it's really good that we didn't die in an automobile crash. Because had that happened, we would be at the pearly gate standing there, both she and I, and we're waiting to get in, and she's ringing the doorbell. All we had to do is walk in, and all of a sudden,
it's open!
Open sesame.
Yep, so he's keeping me humble.
We got a text here. This is probably the most meaningful show you have ever had on the air since you started broadcasting. Thank you from a 22-year prostate cancer survivor. PSA testing early. Age 45, if you have family history, is the key. William. Thank you, William.
Thank you for the positivity and for the uplift. And the that's awesome. Thank you for saying something.
Dennis, thanks for sharing everything you did today. Like I said, you're not doing it for woe is me. You're doing it to help other people, to tell them, get out there and take care of this. Be aggressive. Don't sit back. Take care of yourself.
Be smart. Pay attention. In the military, they tell you situational awareness will keep you alive on the battlefield. That applies.
Absolutely. So thanks for doing that.
Thank you for letting me.
You bet it, my brother. We're all in your corner. You know that. Everybody. Todd, how many texts do we get?
It's crazy. And just talking this morning about Alzheimer's and having dealt with that with family members and stuff. Yep. I can't wait to get the book.
Dom
and
lost
read it.
His mom.
Same.
Did you lose your mom and dad to it?
Lost my dad.
Lost your dad to it. Yeah.
Sorry about that.
How do we get the book? How do we get a copy of the book?
Well, if you come to the court at Eden Vista tonight, books will be for sale. Otherwise, okay. You can also get them on the My Two Wheelings website.
Oh, okay.
Oh, it's a website. Okay, awesome.
We'll
right
have
now.
That on our social media.
Give yourself
folks.
A plug one more time about today.
So today, the court at Eden Vista on East St. Joseph Street in Green Bay. We will be there at 3 p.m. doing a presentation and also selling books. So stop
Eden.
On by.
Eden Vista Court, 289 East St. Joseph Street, Green Bay, Alloway-ish, right there mm-hmm. in the border. So thanks so much for doing that.
I'm buying the book right now as we speak.
Absolutely. Thank you, sir. Wonderful having you here.
Thank you, pleasure. I want to thank you. Just seeing and being with you this short period of time and knowing about what you're doing, just outstanding. Thank you.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.